I invite you to settle into your seat, take a deep breath in, and then let it go. Just allow yourself to be centered in this present moment, to be centered in the presence of God within you and all around you. Let go of your hurrying to get here and know that you're in the right place at the right time, just where you're supposed to be. We are all here by divine appointment today, and so we come as blessings. We come to receive and give blessings. On this particular day, we feel our hearts open wide as we recognize this golden thread of spirit that runs through every living being, remembering that we are all connected, and holding high this vision for oneness and respect and universal love. This is what unity is all about, and our spiritual path as well. So we continue on our way today, learning and growing, giving our gifts and receiving gifts in return, and serving it all up for the glory of God. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen. We live in a noisy world, or so it seems. Especially in urban areas, life can be a cacophony of street noise and horns honking and phones ringing and children playing, trash pickup. And since I moved here, I've become aware of jets flying overhead. Always lots going on. And even indoors now, it's gotten a little noisier than it used to be. A lot of times you go to a restaurant and they have music playing or TVs blaring. Some places, multiple TVs blaring. Well, fortunately, we as human beings have this wonderful gift called selective perception, which allows us essentially to tune out what we don't want to hear. This can be not so pleasing for someone who's trying to tell us something. But aside from that, it's something that we have from birth, an innate ability to really not listen to what's going on around us. And if you've ever been at a rock concert or some very loud event, perhaps you've had the experience, as I have, of looking over and seeing a little baby completely asleep on their parent's shoulder with all this noise going on. You're thinking, how do they do that? Just marvel at that. And I remember marveling when my son was 2 years old and we were remodeling the attic room next to his bedroom so that he could eventually move into that when his baby sister was born. Well, the day came when they were sheetrocking and the noise was deafening. I remember it was so loud, I thought, I cannot bear to be in the house. But of course, I stayed there. And I thought, there is no way Ben is going to take his nap today, which I very much look forward to his nap. I thought, there's no way he's going to take his nap, but okay, I'll give it a try. Put him down in his crib, and sure enough, within minutes, he was out and slept like a baby. So this ability to tune out what we don't want to hear can be a real blessing. The only problem occurs when we start tuning out what we most need to hear. When we start tuning out God, when we start tuning out that higher wisdom in us, spirit trying to send us a message. You know, we don't necessarily do this on purpose. We have very busy lives. We have a lot going on. It's not always easy to be attuned to what spirit is trying to communicate with us. And a lot of times we find that when we're ready for that and we want to turn within, that it's as noisy in our inner world as it is in the outer world, if not more so. And you can ask anyone who's tried meditation before about this. Because we go into it thinking, oh, this is going to be so pleasant. I'm going to have meditation. This will be like going for a little walk in the woods and finding a clearing where I will commune in silence with God. And within minutes, we're not in a clearing in the woods, we're on a freeway. We're being bombarded by ideas and thoughts and worries and distractions coming at us. And so we think, how can I get back to that place in the woods where I want it to be. And we don't do it by beating ourselves up about, oh, I'm not doing this right, I can't meditate, blah, blah, blah. We do it by accepting the fact that we got off track. And now we're going to return our attention to the focus of our intention. We're going to focus on God, if you will. We're going to focus on the still small voice within us. We're going to get quiet. You know, more and more people are taking up the practice of meditation with this very thing in mind. They're trying to find that quiet place where they can connect with something greater than themselves, or perhaps go more deeply within themselves, or both, or maybe just have a little peace and quiet. So meditation is really catching on, as are practices like yoga and tai chi and other sort of quiet centering practices. All evidence that we're all out there doing what Carly Simon said so well in that song long ago. We're trying to turn down the noise in my mind. And there are other ways in which that's being made available to us. You may have heard about these places now, resorts, retreats, spas, programs that actually specialize in offering quiet. That is their big selling point. Seriously, you come here and there will be no Wi-Fi, no TV, no phones, no children, no radios. It's going to be quiet. And they're finding that people will pay extra for that. There's now a premium on silence. And you may have heard about silent retreats before. They're offered more and more frequently now. They offer them at Unity Village, at Yogaville, over at Spirit Rock Resort in Northern California. For periods of time, you can stay in the silence for anywhere from a day to a month or more. Can you imagine being in silence for a month or more? I guess that's what monks do, isn't it, Tom? Yeah, that must be amazing. It'd be great to do a silent retreat here sometime, not for a month, but maybe a weekend sometime if there were interest in that. But the point is that until we become quiet, we can't hear the voice of God. Until we become silent with the noise inside of us, we can't hear spirit, our own inner wisdom, come forward within us. And this is what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 6:6, when he said, go into your room, and close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. In other words, connect with God, the presence of God within you, which you can only do when you're quiet and peaceful and serene. And then close the door of your inner sanctuary, shut out all the sights and sounds of the senses around you, and just be. Be open, be present. And when we get to that place that he is pointing to, our role is to simply listen. Be still and listen. That can be a very big shift for people. Quite often we come into prayer with the intention of, now I'm going to talk. Let me now tell God all about my issues or problems. I will now ask for what I need, beg for what I need if necessary. And so it's a big switch to think of going into this with the intention of listening. So this practice is not about talking, telling, asking, begging, beseeching, or advising God. It's really about becoming like an empty vessel. An empty vessel. It's this emptying of the noise, the confusion, the worries in you so that you're wide open and ready to be filled with the wisdom of God, ready to be filled with that innate knowing that is a part of you. So we call this sacred listening. You might also call it prayer. You know, there's a lot of definitions around prayer. When I first got into Unity, somebody told me, well, prayer is when you talk to God, and meditation is when you listen to God. Did anybody else ever hear that? I thought that was really catchy. I thought it was really clever and very easy to remember. But I don't think it's quite right. You know, in unity, prayer and meditation are very similar in so many ways. And I think that both of those processes involve, you could say, a speaking with your inner truth and a listening to the still small voice within, and then going more deeply. So we're not just talking to God or listening to God, but we're becoming and knowing ourselves as God. And when we do that, there's a great sense of release. And in that release, we begin to receive inner messages. Have you had this happen in your meditation or prayer time? Suddenly you'll have an aha moment. Or what you've been trying to figure out, oh, the way is made clear. Or you have a great idea, some kind of insight. You may come to that place of knowing in you where just the most beautiful truths are unveiled. I'm a beloved expression of God. I'm loved and cherished. All that I need is here within me. God is within me and with me at all times. I am never alone. When we immerse ourselves into this presence and actually lose ourselves in this presence, we're following the ways of the mystics. I love reading about the mystics, because they have that way of releasing totally the ego, the personality, and just living in that beautiful sense of oneness as God. And it's reflected really nicely in this wonderful little story I read recently from a woman. She's an elderly Native American woman, and she had the same approach or idea about sacred listening and praying as the mystics. And she said this: "Our parents never really taught us about prayer. We didn't memorize prayers. But every morning, my mother would wake us up, and as little children, we'd have to sit on the steps of our house facing east. And she'd say, 'Be quiet. You have to be quiet while you sit here. You watch the sun come up.' Me and my brothers and sisters would have to sit on the steps and watch the sunrise every morning. 'As the sun comes,' my mother would say to us, 'welcome it. Welcome it to the world. And tell it, as it goes over the earth, it should drop its blessings on all people.' That was our prayer every day." That's a prayer as oneness. That's a prayer being in the presence. And we can pray that way anytime we want. It's simply a matter of going to that quiet place within and opening up. And we find that as we do this, as we make this more of a habitual spiritual practice, it becomes easier to hear that still small voice within. Have you had this experience? That these truths begin to bubble up inside of you with a little bit more ease and regularity. So I had this happen recently to me. And what I've noticed is that when I hear this voice, this still small voice, I don't care if you call it the voice of God, the voice of my inner knowing, my intuition, it doesn't really matter. But it is so distinctive in its character, because it has this authority to it, this sureness, this unwavering truth aspect to it. So it's nothing I would ever consider arguing with. And I feel instant peace. So a couple weeks ago, I was doing my morning meditation, and I was thinking about my day ahead, and I had some challenges coming up in the day ahead. And so as I sat down into my meditation, I was getting quiet. I had the thought kind of go through my mind: I should call my sister today and ask her to hold a good thought for me. And it just kind of went through my awareness. And then in the quiet that followed, the most beautiful message just come up from within. And it said, "Why do you need to do that? You have me. I have God. I have everything I could possibly need." And when I heard that, I just felt this glorious sense of support and comfort, reassurance, faith, hope, all of it. You have me. You have God. You have Spirit in you. You have everything. Everything you need. When we tune into this as sacred listening, it isn't just listening with our ears. It's really listening with our whole self. It's really being immersed in the presence, bringing our whole self into it. And this, I believe, is the way that Jesus prayed. He came to the Father, as he called him, Abba, Daddy, with his whole self, and was willing to put everything on the line, as we well know, and be totally vulnerable and open to what he heard. Set an example for us in that. And we can look to that example and remember that when Jesus began his ministry, he began it as the Son, not as the Father. To remember that he began as a student, not a teacher. That first he was connecting with Spirit and learning, and then passing it on to others. Exactly what we do on our spiritual path. We may turn to him as our source. We may turn to other spiritual masters for insight and input and inspiration. But we begin as students. We begin by listening. And there's a great interpretation of an aspect of the New Testament I had never considered before. So in Judaism, the prayers typically end with amen, amen. That's just the way of closing it out. And so it is, let it be so. But many of Jesus' most powerful statements in the four Gospels, and particularly in the Gospel of John, he begins with amen, amen. He says amen, amen before he shares the truth. This has been perplexing. There have been many different interpretations of this. Some shared with me during the break this morning of let it be so, may it be so. We know amen to mean and so it is. But here's one that particularly intrigued me. That in saying amen, amen, and in case you're thinking, gosh, I don't remember seeing that in my Bible, a lot of times it's interpreted as verily, verily, or truly I tell you, or truly, truly. That may sound a little bit more familiar. But the original is thought to have been amen, amen. So the idea is this. By Jesus beginning his teachings with that statement, he's affirming that he has already heard in his heart what God wants him to say, that he already has gotten the message. And so he's blessing that, and now he's ready to pass it on. So I love this interpretation. It's almost like Jesus saying, okay, God, I got that. Amen, I got it. Now I'm going to go and share it with the world. Just sort of lovely to think of that continuum, which is the very same continuum of what we can do in our prayer life. When we tune into this presence within us, when we find our quiet place, and tuning into that may mean tuning out all these distractions around us, but then we have the right priorities. Then we're going right to source. When we find that quiet place within us, as I'm sure you well know, it radiates out to others. Others feel that. If you've ever been in the presence of someone who's very calm and centered, being in their presence is like a balm to your spirit, is it not? And it can also make you feel more alive, more empowered. William Butler Yeats says it this way. He says, we can make our minds so like still water that beings gather about us, that they may see, it may be, their own images. We're like the still water, that they see their own images. And so live for a moment with a clearer, perhaps even with a fiercer life because of our quiet. Because of our quiet, others are able to live a clearer and maybe even fiercer, more empowered, more mighty and dynamic life. So this is a gift that we pass on to others. And we find that as we begin practicing more regularly, sacred listening, attuning to God within, listening for our own inner wisdom, that as we kind of build up that muscle of listening in that way, we can then apply it on the outer. So that when others in our lives come to us, we can listen with our hearts. We can go to that same quiet place and connect heart to heart with them. And then truly we do, all the world can be tuned out around us because together we're in the presence. Together we're God, and we feel that. This shift in our awareness can change everything. In fact, it can change what we might have perceived in our world as a cacophony to a symphony. And suddenly we go out into the world, and maybe the horns are honking, and maybe there's a noise in the street or jets. Ah, but now we notice the birds, and we notice the sweetness of the day. We're more attuned to this heartbeat of life. This is how Wayne Muller describes it. In the stillness of not moving or speaking, not running or planning, if we allow our eyes to soften and our gaze to alight on whatever color or event, if we listen without hurry or distraction, a world of invisible sounds and sights emerges as from deep within a misty fog. Trees, the songs of birds, wind rustling leaves, fragrances of earth, grass, flower, warm sun or cool rain on hand or cheek, a line of poetry recalled, the shape of a cloud, the smell of how this season emerges in this place, the feeling of the breath, an exhale. Without such stillness of attention, how can we ever possibly know what treasures surround us in every moment? Let's turn now to our time of meditation. Let's take a deep breath in. Just feel that beautiful spirit filling our lungs and every cell of our being. Feeling in this very moment the energy of life in us, the blessing of being alive and being here together. Take another deep breath in and let it go, sinking into a deeper sense of relaxation, a deeper release. Breathe into the presence of spirit in you. Breathe into this all-knowing, all-loving consciousness that is a part of your very being. And if it's comfortable for you, I invite you to allow my words to become yours. As I settle into this place of sacred listening, I know that I am loved. I am cherished. I am uniquely me. I am the beloved of God. I am the beloved. I am. In this moment, I feel the presence of spirit within me, like a beautiful wave of peace and love. A centering presence, reassuring, comforting. All is well. I'm okay. And all is well. I take a moment now to immerse myself more deeply in the presence and listen for what I most need to hear. In the silence. Our hearts are filled to overflowing with the presence of God and with gratitude. We affirm this shining presence always working in through us to bring us to our highest good, to heal what needs to be healed, to show us the way, knowing we are never alone and all is unfolding as it should. For these blessings, for the knowing that God is always in us, with us, and as us, we give thanks. And so it is. And so we let it be. Amen.